This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mizzou Sports Podcast. Daniel Jones here with Cameron Teague Robinson at the offices of the Columbia Daily Tribune. We've been talking about shoes today. The reason that we're talking about shoes is actually because at Pro Day today, and we'll get into that in a little bit. One of the best things I think, well, maybe not the best things, one of the most interesting things we talked about at Pro Day today, in addition to all the things that were happening and all the 40 times that were being unofficially clocked and guys doing bench press and guys doing cone drills, Charles Harris, former Mizzou star, now with the Miami Dolphins, got the participants at Pro Day today all new Jordans. So we're talking to Jamon Moore after Pro Day about his shoe collection, which is extensive. He has over 100 pairs of Jordans. He's a big fan of Jordans. And so then we started talking about his favorite pair of shoes. And Cam, you have some pretty high-quality sneakers. So we're looking at Yeezys because Jamon said that his favorite pair of shoes was a pair of Yeezys.
Yeah, yeah. They're comfortable. I have a pair of Yeezys. Danny knows the story, but I'll tell you guys. A friend of mine who makes probably way too much money for his own self, bought a bunch of, like, probably four or five pairs of Yeezys probably a few years ago. I think it was 2016, 2015. And I bought a pair. I told him, hey, buy a pair and I'll pay you back for me. And he did it for a few other people. And he bought me, they're the Yeezy Boost 350s. I'm looking at them right now, all black. And so I paid him, I want to say they were, what, $600 maybe, $500? I don't remember.
It's an insane amount to pay for a pair of shoes.
Exactly. And so I bought them, and then it was back when I was still living in Ohio. And I wore them probably three or four times, and then I gave them to my mom to, like, keep in my house because I wasn't living at home.
Yeah.
I was graduated college, I was at my first job. But I knew if I had them there, I would have worn them all the time, and they would have got really dirty. So now I live in Missouri, probably going on 2 years now, and they're still at home.
So the Yeezys have never made it to Missouri.
They have never made it to Missouri because, again, if I had them here, every night we go out, I'd be tempted to wear them because they're all black and they go with everything. So
right.
I keep them there, and when I go home, I go home like once or twice a year, and I wear them once maybe when I'm home, but they're at home in a box in a closet.
Is there anything else you own that is that value that you never use, that you keep that safe?
Oh, no.
Trying to think of other things. I mean, like, I have class rings that I've bought that I never ever wear.
Yeah.
Things that, you know, it's just money that, and you wouldn't call it wasted, but I would say, like, money
it's wasted
on your Yeezys.
Yeah, 100%. I don't wear them. I mean, now, but, like, that was back when, like, I was, like, for sure a hype beast. Like, I was just like, oh, this is coming out, I gotta go get it. But now I'm more frugal with my money.
You're smarter. You're more mature.
And I know that I don't need to be spending money on that. Like,
now, would you sell your Yeezys?
No, I wouldn't sell.
So how much more mature are you, really?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, true. I mean, I bought them. They're mine now. I'm gonna wear them, and they still fit. So, but yeah, no, I wouldn't sell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here we are.
Hunter, our photographer, asked to buy them, and I told him no.
I know. That's why I asked the question.
Not a chance.
So you wouldn't buy them again, but you also wouldn't sell them.
Agreed.
So you. Okay. Yep. I don't
Unless
understand,
I, like,
but that's
needed
okay.
The money, and, like, I couldn't pay rent, I'd sell them. But,
okay.
Like, I like them. Like, if I go home, I wear them. I like how they feel on my foot. They're comfortable. They're nice-looking shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Jamon probably would have talked about shoes for an hour today if we would have let him. Jamon loves... He told us that he likes talking to the media.
Yeah.
One of the few guys on the beat that I think really actually enjoys that. I think a lot of guys do it. They're professional. They know that it's part of the gig. But I think Jamon actually really enjoys getting to talk about it. He's going to be the guy that gets drafted first out of Mizzou at this year's draft. When he ran today, and these times aren't official, mm-hmm. But the times that were released by Mizzou on his 40 was 4.48, which is a lot faster than the 4.6 he ran at the combine.
Right.
He actually said he got texts from a lot of people after the combine that he ran a 4.6. Like, what were you doing?
Yeah.
So, helped himself out a little bit there. But otherwise, Pro Day, it's almost more of an opportunity, I think. It's an opportunity to improve on the things that you maybe didn't do so well at the combine, but also kind of network a little bit because you have 26 teams. Yeah, it's 26 teams are there. Agents are there. So it's just kind of a way to get your foot in the door with
especially
a lot of those teams.
Especially for guys like Marcel Frazier or Anthony Sherrills or other guys who they're not. I mean, Jim Moore is as close to a draft lock as you'll get in this class.
For Missouri this year, yeah.
Right. But for those guys, it's a chance for them to really kind of, like you said, network with scouts, show what they're able to do in different combine drills, and really kind of get a chance to kind of talk to the scouts, because that's a big thing for them. At that point, you're really just trying to sell yourself on why you could be in the draft,
yeah,
or why you should take a chance on me. So, I mean, regardless, I think both of those guys, Marcel and Anthony Sherrills, I mentioned this plenty about this, but I think those guys are undrafted free agents regardless. But it'd be nice to see them. Obviously, they would want to get drafted.
I think Marcel has a chance to get picked late.
Right.
I think a lot of there are some other guys that were there today that are probably fighting for roster spots in minicamp and right. and undrafted free agents. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders were there today, yeah. So maybe some CFL guys. Mizzou has a good pipeline into the CFL with James Franklin, yeah. Kendall Lawrence, LaDainian Washington. All those guys have played in the CFL, so that's also an option for guys that don't get drafted. But overall, it was it wasn't the most popular pro day Mizzou's had. Last year, they had a number one, what everybody considered to be a first round pick in Charles Harris. Yeah. In years past, they've had other guys that are going to be bona fide first round picks. And next year, we were talking about this. Yeah, it's going to be a zoo because Drew Lock and Terry Beckner are both going to be first round picks.
And you're talking
year.
About Drew Lock's probably going to be an early first round pick.
Yeah. A guy who some franchises might look at as the savior of the franchise.
Right, he could be he has a chance to be the top quarterback prospect in the draft next year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, next year will be a zoo.
All 32 teams are at Sam Darnold's pro day at USC.
You know what they say about Sam Darnold?
What do they say about Sam Darnold?
He's a lock to go to the Browns.
How do you feel about that?
I'm all in. I've been a Sam Darnold guy since Rosen said he didn't want to play for the Browns.
That was it?
I was done on him.
The most important thing is showing up.
Yep. I want you to want to play in Cleveland.
Okay.
I'm good for Darnold. I was like reading a story. This is completely off topic, but like it was raining at Darnold's pro day, and like the guy who like put him through jails was like, hey, we're going to throw early so we can beat the rain. And I guess Darnold was like, no, I want to throw in the rain. And I was like, oh, I love this guy.
That's my guy.
Yep. I like it.
You have to have that kind of mentality when you live in Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can't be sunny all the time.
No. You gotta be willing to get down and get your hands dirty.
Can we do it in mud?
Yeah.
Can we do it in ice?
Can you put some snow out here? Let's go.
Yeah, can we get like 50,000 booing fans in the stands, maybe?
Whoa. Okay. That was too far. On to the next.
Sorry. Went a little too far. So anyway, Pro Day. Yeah. Story coming in tomorrow's paper about that and about Jamon. I think, again, Jamon is going to be the guy to watch for in the draft, but I think Marcel Frazier is also a guy that could get picked for Mizzou. And you talked about Anthony Sherrills, probably the next best look, just because his speed is such a game changer.
And
he's probably the fastest guy that ran today. That's kind of a difference maker and a willing tackler. Right. So that's a big thing at the next level too. More on that in Friday's edition of the newspaper. Okay, this is the first podcast that we've done since basketball season has come to an end.
Yeah.
Like, altogether.
Yeah.
Basketball season's over in Missouri.
Yeah. It happened in a matter of 2 days. 24 hours.
24 hours.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate that the Missouri game was in the first half as the biggest upset in the history of college basketball was going on.
I didn't get to watch any of it.
Although I did hear that there were PA announcements in the arena in Nashville that they were keeping people up to date on.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
They showed some highlights over the Jumbotron, I guess, during timeouts. And at that point, Missouri was down like 18, and everybody was like, really
checked
just
out.
Focused on that.
This game is lame.
Exactly. Yeah, so it was just kind of like checking Twitter. And it was late, so you're like, so at that point, you're trying to write and get the story in on deadline, too. But yeah, it was like everybody's going to be like, 10 years from now, they'll be like, oh, I've watched a 16-1, and I'm going to be like, I was in Nashville watching Missouri really just get dominated in the first half.
Yeah, get crushed. State. You know, it's kind of interesting not to be the biggest story on the day of the NCAA tournament is rare.
Yeah.
Mizzou, when they were the 2 seed and lost to Norfolk State, obviously devastating around here locally.
Right.
But that same day, Duke lost to Lehigh as
hours
a 2 seed.
And that was the big story.
That was it.
It was to the point where actually on ESPN the night before, they were showing like 15-2 like upsets. They're like showing the history of the NCAA tournament. And so, obviously, Mizzou lost to Norfolk and Duke lost to Lehigh. They only show Duke's loss to Lehigh.
Right.
I remember looking at someone and being like, well, they're not showing Missouri up there. And they were like, shh, don't say anything.
Yeah, it's Missouri's...
Totally overlooked.
That obviously still registers locally and for Mizzou fans, but that day is more known as the day Duke lost as a 2 seed.
Yeah.
And then, of course, an 8 losing to a 9 isn't really that big a deal. But the fact that that was happening while UMBC was beating Virginia,
I totally overshadowed,
was everybody was still high on the UMBC thing. Right. Everybody else that wasn't a Mizzou or Florida State fan was focused on UMBC, and then Mizzou kind of just fell away from the tournament back in the shadows.
Yeah.
So, real quick before we get more into some of the things we have written down here, do you feel like we'll do this for both squads, the men and the women? Do you feel like the men had a successful season and the women had a successful season? So start with the men. Do you feel like at the end of the day, now that it's all over, can you call it a successful season for the Mizzou men?
I think so. I think just because you came into the season, honestly, I thought the goal was an NCAA tournament. I think obviously the hype and expectation was there when Michael was here, and you thought like you thought what he could be as SEC player of the year type player. For him not to play all year, them still win 20 games and make the NCAA tournament, I think that's about as successful as you could have asked for them. Now, they could have probably picked up a few more wins along the way and probably been like a 6 or 7 seed, or maybe even a 5 seed. But at that point, you're just kind of like drawing straws to find things. But I think, to be honest, I think it's been as successful as you could have asked for. Now, maybe you want more towards the end with Michael back, but I just don't think they acclimated him in time. But like I was talking to somebody the other day. You're talking about Jordan Barnett didn't play. Adam Wolf got hurt, which isn't a big deal, but when you have 8 players, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Cullen Van Leer tears the ACL, Blake Harris transfers, CJ Roberts transfers, Terrence Phillips kicked off the team. You talk about all that, 20 wins, you make the tournament, you couldn't have asked for more. If I was to tell you that happened at the beginning of the year, on top of Michael not being here, you'd have been like, oh, they're going to win 14 games.
That was supposed to be the ceiling with Mike on the team, honestly. What they did this year was what everybody expected to happen with none of the things that actually happened.
Right.
Making the NCAA tournament was supposed to be the ceiling, which they did with all the other stuff that happened behind the scenes. So I think at the end of the day, not only did all that good stuff happen, but at the very least, you have Jeremiah Tillman coming back.
Who, if he can put it all together, could be an all SEC player next year.
Right.
Yeah.
Still have a big hole at point guard that needs to be filled.
And really all over the perimeter.
Right, with Cassius leaving too. You have to find somebody to come in and make some three-pointers. So, you know, that kind of leads us into our next point is, what do you think happens with Michael? And what do you think happens with Jonte? I don't know. What direction does Mizzou go now with that situation?
That's weird. I mean, because the timetable for those two is, I mean, I think the deadline's the 22nd to officially declare.
And to do that, so that process,
or April 11th, something like that.
You can kind of go through some evaluations,
right?
You can declare for the draft, and then
if you don't sign an agent, you can come back by a certain day.
So
believe that date is May 30th.
So if you don't, you can declare for the draft,
go through the combine,
do all the pre-draft stuff,
right? And then still come back and have your eligibility.
If you don't sign with an agent,
correct.
That's kind of the key.
Because
once you sign with an agent,
you're in.
It's over.
And the early entry eligibility deadline, according to NBA.com, at least, is April 22nd. So that we will know by April 22nd at 11:59 p.m. if Michael and Jonte are declaring for the NBA.
And so a lot of big names are already made it clear.
Trae Young, DeAndre Ayton. So we'll know by then. And then the big thing for that is that uncertainty hurts Missouri's scholarship stuff, because you have 2 open right now, officially open right now. Xavier Pinson is committed to Missouri but hasn't signed. So when he signs, if he signs, that'll be another one. So you'll have 1 open scholarship at that point. you're looking at Missouri, I imagine, is saving that scholarship for the opportunity that Courtney Ramey signs. Because I don't think you really, I don't think you can pass up on him.
Missouri's been extremely aggressive with Courtney Ramey.
He's their priority right now, yeah. So, because he could come in and be your point guard right away. So you're looking at all your scholarships being filled if Courtney Ramey signs. Now, if the Porters declare and actually stay in the draft, that opens two other scholarships up. So there you're looking at maybe a graduate transfer. They just offered a 6'7 forward from Sunrise Academy. His name's Blake Henson. So maybe him as well, although he's been linked to Illinois and a few other places. But there's just an uncertainty of just you don't know what they're going to do. I think if the Porters declare, I think Mike is going regardless. I think he signs an agent and goes. I think it's a little less known just because I think Jonte could go, test the waters, and come back. But you just don't know. They haven't really said anything on whether they're going to do that or not.
Jonte was interesting with his comments. I feel like he's kind of been a little bit more willing to speak on it. Mike has just kind of been like, yeah, it's possible, possible. Yeah. Whereas Jonte kind of opened up about it a little bit after the game and talked about the process and, you know, what he wanted to do. But at any rate, it does have a big impact on not just next season's roster, but how you set up next season's roster and the kind of players that you need to go after.
And I imagine we talked about this a few minutes ago before the podcast, that I imagine Konzo's recruiting like they're not coming back. You have to.
Yeah, you have to prepare that for them not
because
to
be there.
Because
if you don't and then they leave, your recruiting isn't a thing you want to be behind on because then you won't get kids. So he has to be going recruiting now, and the whole staff has to be recruiting now like Mike and Jonte are leaving. Now, if they stay, then you figure out some things if you really want kids. But at this point, you have to be going like they're going to the NBA.
A little bit more complicated question, I think. Was the women's season successful this year at the end of the day with everything now in the rearview mirror?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, because Robin talked about it in her press conference that, I mean, they had sold 11,000 tickets to the Tennessee game. Would they have 24 wins this year? Five seed, which again, didn't they have a five seed last year?
Six seed. So highest seed since 1984.
But yeah, I mean, the whole goal this year was a top four seed. They wanted to host. I mean, when they didn't get the top four seed, their goal was a Sweet 16. And to lose to a Florida Gulf Coast team that, I mean, all honesty, they probably should have beaten. That's a bad taste. That's the bad taste to end the season on. So I don't know. I think it's a successful season. Relatively, just with a bad, very bad ending. This is the way they ended the season sours everything because you can't lose three of your final four. And so I don't know. I don't think you can lose three of your final four in that fashion and still call the season a successful season when you didn't accomplish any postseason goals. I think there's things that you can pinpoint are like, that was good, this was good, this was good. But like the whole thing looks at the end. It's all about the end of the season.
It's really tough because, and she has one more year, but with the clock kind of ticking on Sophie Cunningham's career, every year that she's here, the expectations are really high. Yeah. It's almost like, what can you get out of her being a part of your program? Right. And to do all the things they did this year was impressive. It was historic. The number of wins they had, that some of the teams that they beat the defending national champions on their home, on Mizzou's home floor.
Right.
And then you played three of your worst four games of the season in the last four games of the season. So, yeah, that's tough. It's tough to do that, and then at the end look back and say, "Yeah, that was a successful season." I think that, and that's kind of been the line that Robin Pynchon has kind of walked over the last couple weeks. I think the line that a lot of people have kind of tried to draw is, "Yeah, things are really, really good. This is a year that Mizzou the women haven't had in 30 years," but at the same time, didn't really feel like they got everything out of it that they probably should have.
I mean, we were talking about this team could be one of the best teams that Robin's ever had or one of the best teams Missouri's ever had. So for them to come up short like that, that's definitely a disappointing way to end the year.
So now you have a situation where Sophie Cunningham is going into her last year at Mizzou.
Yeah.
Sierra Porter is going into her last year at Mizzou. Lauren Aldridge is going to be a senior next year.
Yeah.
So this is, the window looks like it's starting to kind of shut.
Yeah.
There's still other talented players on the roster besides those three, but when you lose Sophie Cunningham, you're going to lose a lot.
Yeah.
So this season, there's just going to be some really high bars to clear.
Yeah,
and there's going to be a lot that people want to accomplish, and the team is included in that. You know, they're going to have high expectations of themselves, but it's going to be a lot different because Mizzou's going to have 10 guards and 3 forwards. This year, they had the intention of being an inside-out team.
Yeah.
Next year, they're going to be kind of the opposite. I think they're going to really go at it with a lot of guards, maybe kind of try to play like Florida Gulf Coast yeah. played in the NCAA tournament, shoot a lot of threes, and also drive to the basket, use some of their speed on offense and defense. That was kind of one thing that I took away, and I wrote about that earlier this week, was at the end of the year, I think Mizzou's vulnerabilities really got put on display. They didn't have a lot of team speed with all of the size that they had out there on the floor. They had mismatches with their size that they were able to utilize with Sophie Cunningham, with Amber Smith, and even with Sierra Porter and Jordan Frericks down low. But at the same time, they did not have a lot of speed with all those people on the floor. They didn't have mismatches with speed. They were kind of on the slower end. So it was hard for them to match up, and on defense, in the Florida Gulf Coast game, they couldn't keep up with them going to the basket, even though that wasn't really where the team's bread and butter was.
Right.
So I think you'll see a faster team next year just because they'll be a little bit smaller and have some more of that out there on the floor all at the same time.
Yeah, and Robin raved about Grace Berg, who is a top 40 recruit coming in next year, and Haley Troop, who was a South Carolina commit until early this year when she transferred to Missouri, who had to sit out this year. So I think Robin likes the guards that she has coming back enough to think about doing that, obviously. So it'll be a different look, but I think it's still a team where you look at coming into the year, the goal should be to host. The goal should be a Sweet 16.
I mean,
and
yeah.
At that point, with how many seniors is Sophie's last year, if you don't do it, it's a failure.
That's going to be a team that wants to challenge for the SEC.
Yeah.
And I think that the next step for them would be about that level.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, making the Sweet 16, challenging for the league title. Yeah. I think Mississippi State, the history of that program has not been very good. So they've been able to make up all this ground in a short amount of time here recently. So the door's open for Missouri if they can capitalize on that with the roster that they have coming back.
Right.
Before we get into some of the tournament predictions we're going to change things up a little bit. We would be remiss not to mention the wrestling team, which finished sixth at Nationals and had a number of guys finish as All-Americans. So let's see here. I believe this was all happening while we were at basketball, but Mizzou was able to have Jaden Ironman, Grant Leith, Daniel Lewis, and Willie Miklas all finish as All-Americans. So another outstanding season for the wrestling team, which has become basically a national powerhouse.
Yeah, definitely.
They're right there in that conversation every single year. Fourth straight top 10 finish as a team, and their eighth overall finish top 10 at the national championships in Cleveland. So another great year for Mizzou wrestling, and no reason to think that it's going to stop now.
Yeah.
Jaden Ironman is an underclassman. Willie Miklas, I believe, with his red shirt, might have another season left. But it's a team with a lot of talent, and Brian Smith is pretty good at what he does.
He's done a really good job with that program. Like you said, they are a national power of a year. And the big thing for them, you come into the year, we're going to be really good anyway, but for them to do it without Jaden.
Yeah, the first year without Jaden Cox, yeah. Not much of a hiccup.
Yeah, not at all. So, yeah, definitely congrats to those guys. They were, like you said, very, very good all year. I'm trying to find out Willie Miklas, redshirt senior this year. So he's gone.
Okay, so that was it for him.
Yeah. See? Okay.
So we got a couple of NCAA tournament games tonight, 4 tonight,
yeah.
4 tomorrow. And we've come up with something to make things a little bit interesting.
You guys heard my sigh. Just know I'm not a fan of this.
So what we're going to do is Cameron and I are going to have a draft here, and we're going to pick 4 teams to go to the Final Four, but
yeah.
They're going to be all different.
Right, yeah. Do you want to explain the wager first?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. The person with the... So, between the two of us, whoever has fewer teams that we pick make the Final Four will have to go to... I believe what we're going to do is go to CJ's
yeah.
and eat their hottest wings... live on the podcast.
Like, how many of the hottest wings? I don't like this idea.
I feel like I don't know what the smallest amount is. Maybe, what do you say, 4 wings?
Yeah, sure.
4 wings. Let's do 4 of the hottest wings at CJ's.
Okay.
So now we have to go through the process of getting 4 teams that are going to make the Final Four.
The idea I told Danny was, just so that we didn't have 4 of the same teams, is we each kind of draft it out. So each region has 2, I mean, the Sweet 16s. So Danny gets the first pick in the South region. He would pick probably Kentucky, I'm guessing. And then I would pick a different team, just so we have different teams in the Final Four, and we'd go from there. So each of us would get a first pick in 2 regions and a second pick in 2 regions.
So how do we want to do this first? Do we want to do rock, paper, scissors, and then whoever wins gets the first pick in the region that they want?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So if I say I win rock, paper, scissors, I'll get to pick my first region. You'll get to pick your second region.
What we could do it that way, or okay, let's do it that way. Okay. Let's do it that way.
Okay. I wish we had a coin.
I know. We just have to do rock, paper, scissors one time.
All right.
On shoot.
All right.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay.
Oh my God.
My rock beats Cam's scissors. So now I get the first pick.
Yeah.
Of all the 16 teams left, the first pick on who gets to make the Final Four.
Yeah. So this is South Region that has Kansas State and Kentucky playing Thursday, Loyola Chicago and Nevada playing. The West has Florida State and Gonzaga, Michigan and Texas A&M. Midwest has Kansas and Clemson, Syracuse and Duke, and the East has Villanova, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Purdue.
So, my pick.
What region are you taking?
The South.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with Kentucky.
Oh, okay. I didn't even do that.
Kentucky game, they play tonight.
Yes.
They play Kansas State tonight.
Yeah.
So, my fate could be decided tonight.
Yeah.
Thursday night.
I'd be rooting very hard for Kansas State. Like for some of you who don't know, I don't like hot food. This is like
you when we started talking about this today, and actually this happened because you shared a video.
I know,
with
and
me.
I didn't expect this to like catch on like this.
And it has you could sense the anxiety. it was like emanating out of you. You were just the thought of maybe having to do this was making you extremely nervous.
Well, I sent Danny a video of like these guys eating a habanero pepper on YouTube. And Danny goes, "We should do this for the podcast." And my stomach immediately sunk to the floor.
Which is fantastic.
Oh my goodness, this is going to be a terrible idea. I just know I'm going to lose. This would be my luck.
Well, with that attitude, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, okay. If you're going to pick Kentucky, I'm going to go with my darlings, my boys, the Martin twins in Nevada.
I think that's pretty good.
They got my heart once I saw them beat Texas in Nashville.
Okay.
So, all right, that's the South region. So, I'm going to go with, where to go?
I've never watched the NCAA tournament with these kind of stakes.
Yeah,
before.
Right, exactly. I'm going to go with the East region, and I'm going to go with Villanova. I think that's the best one I can have there.
Okay. In that region, I'm going to go with Purdue.
All right. That's not bad. I hope, I wonder if the, what's the guy's name? Haas. First name. What's his first name?
Isaac.
Isaac Haas. I wonder if he's going to play with his brace on.
I don't think so. It didn't. Matt Painter said he's not going to play, probably.
That would suck. I hope they lose to Texas Tech. I hope they lose to Texas Tech now.
Still have faith in Carson Edwards.
Okay.
He's fantastic.
Okay.
All right, so now it's my turn again.
Yep, the West and the Midwest are left.
To pick a region, I'm going to go... I'm going to go with the Midwest.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick Kansas.
You're
going to
root for Kansas.
I'm not going to root for Kansas, but I think that they're the most likely to make it out.
I mean, but like if you lose. So you're pretty much rooting for Kansas. Okay. That's fine.
Because
that gives me my pick with Duke. So that's fine.
Is that who you would have gone with if you had the first?
Anyway, yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. So that's fine. Now, this leaves the West, is it? Yeah, the region Missouri was in, if I can type. And that's not how you spell Duke.
That's a tough one. Duke's it's tough
letters.
To spell.
Yeah. This is tough for me. I don't know if I go with my original Final Four pick or my hot pick.
The teams left are Florida State, Gonzaga, Michigan, and Texas A&M.
I think the Final Four team comes out of Michigan, Texas A&M. In my original bracket, I have Michigan in the Final Four. In our bracket pool, I think I'm going to go with... This is hurting me, man. I can already feel the wings.
You're just tasting the hot wings. Oh, it's going to be so great.
I'm going to go with Texas A&M.
I'm going to go with Michigan.
All right. Is that the team you would have picked anyway?
Yeah.
Oh,
Lord. I feel like when we were talking about this at Pro Day today, at Texas A&M is due for a game where nobody really shows up.
It's a tournament. Everybody's got to show up.
But it's Texas A&M, and that's kind of been their thing like for the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I think of the North Carolina game, and like if they show up, they're about as good as anybody in the country.
Oh, 100%.
Also, I don't know who Michigan's. I just think their two picks are just too much for Michigan. But I do have Michigan in my Final Four in my bracket pool.
So it's a win-win.
I would actually rather win this.
Yeah.
All right. So our Final Fours, Danny's Final Four picks: Kentucky in the South, Purdue in the East, Kansas in the Midwest, and Michigan in the West. My Final Four picks are Nevada in the South, Villanova in the East, Duke in the Midwest, and Texas A&M in the West. I don't feel confident.
I feel pretty good.
I feel reading those good. Back, I just go, I lost.
Oh, man. Should we just put it in order for CJ's now?
Oh, my God.
We're going to be picking it up in 4 days.
I finished reading yours, and then I read Nevada, and I go, I lost.
So oh, I can't wait.
Man, I'm rooting pretty hard for Texas A&M tonight.
What's the hottest thing you've ever eaten in your entire life?
I had like part of a ghost chili pepper once. Because like I worked at a garden center and my boss was like growing them in the back. And it like touched my mouth and I spit it right out.
Were you like, you were tasting them in the garden center?
Yeah.
Like you're like picking them off a vine?
Yeah. Like my boss was growing them in the back, like in the greenhouse, because he grows a lot of peppers. And he was like, hey, Cam, you want to try this with me? And he was like, me and my coworker, Jake.
Harassment.
He loves it. And I was like, I wasn't going to be the only person not to eat one. And I like, I had a bite, like I chewed it and I spit it out. And I was like, this is the worst thing of all time. And it was so hot and I went straight to the bathroom. I was like, I'm never doing that again. Oh, and a week on the next week's podcast, I'll probably be doing that. Because I'm not confident at all in my Final Four picks.
That the Mizzou Sports Podcast was going to change things. Oh, man, your face right now. It's just agony.
Yeah, if Texas A&M wins tonight, though, I'll feel okay.
That's going to be a big one. Yeah. I mean,
that's the tie.
That's happening tonight.
Yep.
Is that an early game?
That's a late game.
Oh, so we watching fantastic.
It. Oh, that's an early game. 7:37.
Okay. Can't wait.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun, Cam.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
It's going to be fun to eat hot wings.
Yeah. But yeah, okay. So cool. Yeah, if that happens, we will have it on our podcast. So maybe we'll Facebook Live it. Maybe we won't.
I think that's definitely going to have to go on video. Regardless if it's you or me, it's going to have to go on video.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you for tuning in today. For the Mizzou Sports Podcast, catch us wherever you consume Columbia Tribune content on our website or on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe there. Check our work in the paper, and we'll be back next week. Somebody will be eating hot wings.
Somebody will be eating hot wings.
It's going to be fantastic. Catch us next week.
And subscribe to Mizzou Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.